SEC fans, this is John Chris from Saturday Down South. Welcome to another installment of the SDS podcast, coming to you from the iHeartMedia studio, WDAE in Tampa, Florida, 620 AM and 95.3 FM. You can follow me on Twitter at SaturdayJC. Our guest for this episode is Michael Bratton. He's our news desk editor at Saturday Down South and also happens to be a product of the University of Tennessee. So he doubles as our Volunteers insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael W. Bratton. Mike, Peyton Manning surprisingly didn't respond to my invitation to come on the show. I appreciate you pinch hitting for all the hashtag GBO and hashtag VFL types.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I wish, a little bit more enthused to talk Tennessee football, but I'm ready for whatever you got for me.
Well, we just talked the Mizzou podcast, so if anything, you're sunnier than that. I don't know if that's a compliment necessarily, but that's the case. The Saturday Down South podcast is brought to you by Crystal. If you're listening, then you know the South loves football, and the one thing the South loves even more, it's Crystal. That's right, Crystal, home of the classic Crystal Burger. They're ready to hook you up for your tailgate. The Crystal, the one you grew up with, the one you loved in college well past midnight. Right now, it's only 79 cents. All day, every day, as many as you want, 79 cents. And because no tailgate is ready to go without wings, Crystal has you covered there as well. All wings, any wings, 49 cents a pop, Saturdays and Sundays. Boneless, traditional, buffalo, barbecue, any wing, any flavor, 49 cents each all weekend long. Best of all, Crystal is taking care of our Saturday Down South podcast listeners. Text SDS to 37793 right now, and you're going to get two free crystals. That's SDS to 37793 via text message. 79-cent crystals, 49-cent wings. I guarantee if you show up at your tailgate with a steamer pack full of crystals, you're going to be voted MVP. Stop by your local Crystal today. And now Michael Bratton. Mike, needless to say, there's a lot of angst on Rocky Top these days. This is a once proud program that was forced to deal with the Lane Kiffin one and done and then the three-year Derek Dooley disaster. How does the Butch Jones experience compare so far in year five?
Well, people are definitely angry, to say the least. You know, one of the local columnists there, John Adams, he's been covering the team for 30-some years. He came out this week and said, you know, the fans are more upset with Butch right now than they ever were with Derek Dooley during his tenure, which that's quite a statement to make. I don't know if I buy into that, but, you know, he's definitely got a local feel. He knows the fan base, the pulse there, and if that's a true statement, I mean, that's an eye-opener considering, you know, Butch Jones coming off back-to-back nine-win seasons. Derek Dooley, I don't believe he ever got the team to a bowl game. Maybe his first year, I believe they did, but they ended up having a losing record. So, this Tennessee fan base, they've turned on Butch quickly. I know I was one that's saying I didn't think there was any chance he doesn't get brought back for 2018. And at this point, I'd put it at about 5 to 10% that he is 5 weeks into the season.
Yeah, I'm sort of feeling the same thing. I told a ton of people before the season, just kind of taking the pulse of the room and talking to people in the know, that he's a lot more secure than people realize, whether it's the AD, John Curry, who's publicly backing him, or just the people who are just happier with the direction of things than you would be led to believe from the outside. But one of the things that's sort of gotten Coach Jones in trouble and made him a little bit of a punching bag is the fact that he's just a cliche machine and he doesn't have any personality whatsoever in the Q&A situations. And being good with the media is part of your job, especially at a high-profile institution like Tennessee and in the SEC, of course. We've made so much fun of him with social media when it comes to the Champions of Life stuff and the five-star heart stuff. When you hear these things, covering this league, being close to this team, being a product of the school, do you laugh? Do you cringe? Do you believe it? There seems to be one after another every single week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take into consideration what these guys say all that much. I know much of it doesn't matter, at least in my opinion. But, you know, he's just completely lost the fan base with these cliches. And I more than anything, more than the cliches which people have been turned off to since not winning the East last year when they really should have. But I think it really turned with this Florida game. And, you know, had they lost this Florida game and not, you know, 2 years ago down in the swamp, they should have won. Butch Jones essentially forgot to go for two. They lose by 1 point in that game. The year before, they had a 9-0 lead going into the fourth quarter, end up losing that game 10-9. And, you know, as much as people want to think that Tennessee and Alabama is the big rivalry, for most fans under the age of 40, Florida is the game for every Tennessee fan that I know. That's the one they want more than anything. And he just keeps finding ways to lose these games. And I think that was the tipping point, especially just getting beaten in such a brutal fashion, last play of the game. And, you know, something I noted as soon as that happened, you know, the same thing happened last year, Georgia. They should have lost that game on a last-second play. Thankfully, for Tennessee fans, you know, Josh Dobbs turned around and completed one of the great passes in Tennessee history to pull one out there at the end. But, you know, had that not happened, that would have been two rivalry games that Butch Jones lost on the last second. And that's just inexcusable.
Yeah, two Saturdays ago, you had the UMass game, 17-13, I believe, was the final. This is a terrible, terrible Minutemen program. They were winless coming into Neyland Stadium. That should have been, you know, a 40-10 type of game, and it just wasn't. It was close from start to finish, and by the third quarter, and of course in the fourth quarter, the fans had completely checked out. Despite the fact that this was a one-score game, and the result was still up in the air, it was almost like they were hoping to lose that game just to gain a little more momentum to potentially hit the ejector seat for Coach Jones and move on. But after that game, again, I'm going back two Saturdays as opposed to what we saw against Georgia, but two Saturdays ago after the UMass disaster, he challenged the fans, he challenged the media, and I've been writing a lot that you sort of saw a chink in the armor for Jones. And he showed a side of himself that he hadn't previously. He wasn't covered in cliches. I think that the pressure was starting to get to him, finally. Was that how you interpreted that situation?
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot been made. Butch, he's, I don't want to say fired, but he's moved on from his longtime agent. He was under a well-known guy named Trace Armstrong. Now he's represented by Jimmy Sexton. He made that move a couple months ago leading into this season. And, you know, a lot of people read into that as, you know, Jimmy Sexton will get him this extension that he wants at Tennessee. But I think even the wiser opinion there is, I think he knows this time at Tennessee is coming up. And even if they salvage this season, I mean, there's an outside chance this team could win 9 regular season games, potentially 10 with a bowl game. And that's counting, you know, a sure loss to Alabama coming up. But, you know, if they were able to turn this thing around, I think he would have a little bit more momentum on his side. And I think even if the administration in Knoxville wanted him back, I think the reason for hiring Jimmy Sexton is he's looking for a way out. And I think if he's got any momentum to get another job, I think that's what he's going to do. And you've somewhat alluded to that there. I think he's just kind of fed up with the pressure cooker there in East Tennessee. And, you know, it's not fair to him really, but this is a program that for nearly over a decade, I mean, the angst with the fan base is just, you know, it's all towards him at this point. And, you know, he's had his failings for sure, but the Dooley era, the Kiffin era, you know, the end of Fulmer, that's not his fault, but, you know, he stepped into this, and that's just kind of, that's just the way it is right now in Knoxville. And, you know, people are just going to, they're just going to keep hammering him until there's a change made, is my belief.
Now, I hadn't heard that about the agent change. Keep in mind that Trace Armstrong is a huge name in the business as well. What a player he was back in the day for the Chicago Bears and the Miami Dolphins, but he's a big-time agent. Jimmy Sexton, if you don't know the name, listeners, he represents Nick Saban. He represents Jimbo Fisher. I mean, he's the guy. He's the guy. So I wasn't aware of that, and very interesting move by Coach Jones. But beyond that, you know, back at SEC Media Days, you and I were both in Hoover covering that event. I was down on Tennessee. I had them fifth in the East, just didn't see it coming together for this program. You were still high in the program and thought they had a chance to compete in the East. This isn't a case of I told you so, but give me some specific examples of areas with this team where you were optimistic coming into 2017, and so far those things just haven't come to fruition.
Well, once again, you know, not to repeat what we said last year, but, you know, the injuries have really hampered this team. And one guy in particular that I really thought would have a really strong season was Juwan Jennings. And with him out, there's no alpha dog at the receiver position for this team. And that bumped Marquez Callaway up to the number one option on this team. And we've seen in spots, he's an excellent receiver. But at the same time, a team like Georgia, you know, their game plan was built around just stopping him on the outside, and then Tennessee had no answer. So I think that Jennings' injury really hurt, because I think Marquez Callaway, he may have been one of the best number two receivers in the SEC this year, but he's just not cracked up to be that number one guy yet. He's a true sophomore. He didn't really play last year. That's a lot to ask. The middle linebacker lost for the year, Darren Kirkland, that was leading up to the year. He was all SEC as a freshman. He's one of their best players on defense. He's gone. You know, we've had injuries to Shy Tuttle. He's their best interior defensive tackle. Their most veteran safety, Todd Kelly Jr., out for the year. These are just injuries that this program can't sustain. And you know, they've just got these young, inexperienced guys coming in. And you know, I really thought they had a chance against Florida. They probably should have won that game coming in the year. I thought they could.
If that game goes to overtime, I maintain that they win that game.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of, the narrative is kind of much different if you're looking that way. And like I said, this team could still win 9 games this year. So, you know, I'm not ready to trash them. But if they play the way they did against UMass, they play against the way they did against Georgia at the same time, we may be looking at a 4-win team. So, you know, you could be proven right there. But I still hold out that there's some hope for I think what they really need is to turn it over to Jarrett Garantano. From what we've seen of him, he doesn't look ready, but I think it's either now or never, and it's they've got 2 weeks to get him ready for South Carolina. I think now's the time to do it.
You know, on the one hand, the Vols don't play this week, so they get some time to lick their wounds and sort of get their head straight and get back to basics in terms of practice, maybe even a couple days off just to feel better about themselves. That being said, that's an extra 7 days for media types like you and me. Turn on ESPN, turn on SEC Network, and they're already talking about potential fits at Tennessee. They've already half-fired Coach Jones and assumed he's not going to be there anymore. And you hear things like, you know, maybe he can pull Dan Mullen out of Starkville, or who knows, you know, back up the Brinks truck and maybe you can talk John Gruden into it, since that was his first job. And I believe he married a Tennessee cheerleader once upon a time. He's always been close to the program. So, I mean, is it already done for this guy? I mean, is there too much toothpaste out of the tube at this point? It sounds like you still feel like he can turn this ship around. But when those conversations are happening outside the program, is it safe to say that somewhere inside the program, those conversations are being held also?
No, I think that's a lot of media getting caught up in, you know, what just happened, what they just saw, an embarrassing 41-0 loss on nationally televised game. You know, it's truly a terrible look for the program. It was a bad look for Butch Jones. Obviously, it certainly looks like the beginning of the end. The fan base has more or less, you know, moved on from him. But from everything I'm told, the administration is still not eager to make a decision. I think they want to keep Butch Jones. They want him to win back the locker room, you know, build some momentum here and go into 2018. This team is not going to lose a lot heading into 2018. So, you know, it could be an up-and-coming SEC East contender, but, you know, it's just not looking that way. It kind of looks like Butch has potentially lost the locker room. They're just not playing that hard for him. I think this South Carolina game, until we get to that point, I don't think any kind of decision has been made with the administration. I think they're going to stand firm by him for now, and just really, really need to see how this second half goes. If he loses to South Carolina, if he loses, the Vanderbilt game would be very, very troubling. I think either one of those, and I think he would be gone as soon as possible.
So let's play devil's advocate, and let's just say it does go off the rails. I'm not saying it's going to happen. You're not saying it's going to happen, but the recipe is certainly there potentially. But just how attractive is this job? in case Coach Jones is shown the door and there's an opening on Rocky Top, how attractive is this job to an experienced guy, to that young, you know, 39-year-old OC that everyone's falling in love with? Because, yes, you're in the East, which is the lesser division in the SEC, but there has been some improvement there. Your crossover game, you're stuck playing Alabama every single year, as presently constituted, just throw in a loss automatically. Tennessee's a good place to recruit locally, but not a great one. It's not on par with Florida or Georgia or Alabama or LSU or Tennessee. And these are the teams in your conference you have to compete with on a week-to-week basis. Again, I'm repeating the question to some degree, but how attractive is this job today versus maybe how attractive it was 5 years ago when Coach Jones took it?
I think it's a much more attractive job. And I think someone had to settle for Butch Jones. You know, from what I understand, he almost took the Colorado job, and Colorado 5 years ago was much worse than it is today.
Much worse.
You know, as you've alluded to, Georgia and Florida, those are much easier jobs, and those are, you know, they've got a lot more talent to choose from. But I still think this is I'd put it around top 15 job. That Alabama game is incredibly difficult, but, you know, how much longer is Nick Saban going to be there? I mean, I don't know. I can understand people not wanting to step into that, but, you know, for all the slack, you know, all the talk that these players have egos, in my experience, the coaches have, if not as much ego, they have more ego. So I'm not totally sold that people are going to run from this job. As I said, this is a roster loaded with talent. It's SEC. You know, I think it's still the best conference in the nation. There's so many positives here. They have last year they had more revenue than anyone. They have tremendous facilities. This is going to be a coveted job. They're not going to get any. You know, the fans are already throwing crazy John Gruden, Peyton Manning. They're not going to get anyone like that. I think Chip Kelly would be the guy, obviously, that I would go for. But I don't even think he's interested in any kind of SEC job. Would be my opinion based on everything I've read about him. But I think there would be some really good candidates that would be interested, and specifically thinking of guys like Kyle Whittingham at Utah, I think he would be a home run hire. Gary Patterson from TCU, if he was interested, a guy like that, I think that's what they need to go for. They don't need an inexperienced assistant, because the way Georgia's going right now, Florida's trending in the right direction. You can't risk the momentum. There's been a lot of momentum built at Tennessee. You know, if only they had a coach that made better decisions on game day, I think they're an elite SEC team, and I think it's worthy of an elite coach.
You're listening to the Saturday Down South podcast. Our guest is Michael Bratton, who's our news desk editor, also a proud graduate of the University of Tennessee. The SDS podcast is brought to you by Ticket City. College football is here. Week 6 is exclusively SEC on SEC action. Georgia at Vanderbilt, Ole Miss at Auburn, LSU at Florida, Arkansas at South Carolina, Alabama at Texas A&M, Missouri at Kentucky. Maybe, thankfully, Tennessee's off this week. But now's the time to get your tickets. We've been working with Ticket City for a long time. They are the experts in the field, having served over 1.5 million customers. They've been the place to go for 30-some years. Best of all, they're offering $20 off for all SDS podcast listeners. All you need to do is go to TicketCity.com and enter the discount code SDS20. You're going to get $20 off the game of your choice. Again, TicketCity.com, discount code SDS20. Get off the couch, go to the ball game, have a good time. Get your tickets for SEC football today. Mike, we've talked a little bit about the quarterback situation. I was actually kind of high on Quentin Dormady based on the abbreviated start we saw in the spring game. I saw a guy who was more mobile than I anticipated, a guy who clearly had a nice grasp of the offense. He had some good touch and timing on the football, seemed fairly accurate, but not a whole lot of that has played out on game day so far. He's turned it over a bunch. He hasn't made a ton of big throws, and I think it's safe to say that it's time to at least try the Jarrett Garantano experience. But on the other hand, when Garantano has gotten in there, he hasn't taken the job and run with it. He hasn't performed particularly well. So therefore, it's hard for Jones to justify making a switch. But As you said earlier in the show, coming off the bye, 7 extra days to get another quarterback prepared, it would seem like Garantano might be the guy. Do you see that being the direction that Coach Jones goes?
Yeah, I think he has to because, you know, as you alluded to, Dormady, you know, he's kind of tailed off. He didn't have a strong start in the opener against Georgia Tech, but he really came on in the fourth quarter and in overtime. And I thought that would be huge for him. You know, a first-time starter coming back from a big deficit, winning. It was on the road. It was a neutral site, obviously. But, you know, that was a big moment. And he had some really big moments in Florida, too. He threw a really good touchdown to the tight end Wolf. They were down 10 late in the fourth quarter, and he threw a great pass. He threw a pass to John Kelly that was a little bit behind. That would have been the game winner. Unfortunately for Tennessee fans, Kelly couldn't come up with that catch. But, you know, he's had his moments. His footwork and his accuracy is very, very inconsistent at this point. And it looks like he's thinking way too much out there. And, you know, more than anything to do with Dormady, I put it on the coaching staff, putting them in really bad situations. You know, let's talk about that Georgia game. The first play of the game, they go 5 wide. He took way too long to throw that pass. It was all the way toward the far sideline, and it got picked off. And that was just kind of the story of the game. It was basically over at that point. You know, Tennessee had a lot of momentum going in that game with, you know, Peyton Manning being there, the checkerboard, the Smokey Grays. You know, this was a chance to right the ship. And you come out there and I'm all about throwing the ball on first down, particularly against a Georgia defense that you know was going to be stacked against the run. But going 5 wide and making it a tough throw, that didn't make any sense to me. I think they could have helped him out a lot by giving a run look and throwing the ball. I think that would have been the way to go. And Larry Scott, first time offensive coordinator at the college level. The last time he called plays was in high school. I think I think he's been one of the key issues for this team. You know, you got a new quarterback, essentially all new receivers, a new quarterback coach, new offensive coordinator. It's just too many unknown variables, and they're blowing up on him. And I just based on what we've seen with Josh Dobbs when he was inserted in the lineup, you saw how much a running threat helped this offense. And Dormady clearly just doesn't have that. There was one time he kept the ball on a zone read. I believe it was against UMass, and he got destroyed and fumbled the ball. And ever since then, he's not been willing to run the ball. I think Garantano will give you that added dimension. You may lose something with his ball has been a little. He doesn't have a great touch at this point, but you know maybe that's something that can come with him actually getting some reps. The game plan being specific to him. I just think at this point, the offense desperately needs a spark, and there's clearly one on the bench in my mind.
Yeah, if you do make the switch, we can finally talk about something positive in that he can turn around and hand the ball to John Kelly 20 or 25 times. I absolutely love watching this young man play. He's the SEC's leading rusher through 5 games. I believe he's also Tennessee's leading receiver, so he's proven to be very versatile. I've written it half a dozen times. He's like Alvin Kamara 2.0. Similar body style, similar ability to be effective running it and receiving it. The first guy never seems to hit him and make the tackle. He's a lot stronger running between the tackles than you would realize. I know the Vols have forgotten about him near the goal line once or twice, which is egregious. The play calling, yes, does need to be better, but I love John Kelly's game. I think he's a phenomenal player. He's already getting 20 or 25 touches a game. I don't know how much more he can do. There are some freshmen behind him on the depth chart you like, but Kelly is clearly the guy. You've got to get him the football at all costs, especially if you're going to make a quarterback change.
Yeah, and you know when Tennessee runs those read option plays that they're kind of known for under Josh Dobbs, they run that with Dormady. There's just no threat of him keeping the ball. So, I mean, the defense is keen on John Kelly. He's been outstanding. He's the best player on the team at this point. We saw flashes of that late last year when Jalen Hurd quit the team. That really that gave John Kelly an opportunity to shine. And, I mean, he just took it and ran with it, and he hasn't slowed down. He's looked significantly better this year. You know, they've got to keep riding with him. They're giving him tons of carries, but at this point they have very little threat to throw the ball. you know, there's only so much you can ask a running back to do, especially with all these SEC games coming up. I just think getting Garantano in there, you know, with the defenses are still going to be keyed on Kelly, let Garantano run a little bit, take some pressure off Kelly. I think that's their only option at this point.
On the other side of the ball, I think a major reason why I was down on Tennessee this year was Derek Barnett just seemed like an irreplaceable player. 3 years, double-digit sacks, even on a bad defense last year with everybody injured and dropping like flies. He was just a one-man wrecking crew, developed into a first-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles, just a sensational player, Reggie White reincarnated. But nowadays, you know who your best pass rusher is? It's Colton Jumper. Colton Jumper leads this team in sacks, and I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. I think Barnett has proven to truly be irreplaceable. Yes, the injuries are still there. They've been very unlucky on the health front the last 2 years, but losing a guy like that, I mean, they don't come around very often. I think it's safe to say he was pretty much irreplaceable up front.
Yeah, and there's no way anyone was going to replace him, you know, with just one person. They've been trying to do it by committee. And they've had some nice players there. Daryl Taylor, he's been outstanding, defensive end. This is his first year starting. He looks like the best defensive end on the team. I know you give Jonathan Kongbo a hard time.
Yes, I do.
Nothing but a bust. But you know, he's a soft player, but he's been coming around. He looks better and better each week, in my opinion. Kyle Phillips was a five-star recruit who he's not lived up to that billing. Unfortunately, he's been hurt every year he's been there, but he's been healthy this year, and he looks like a solid defensive end off the bench. Khalil McKenzie, he's another five-star that's not lived up to the hype, but he's a solid player. You know, their defensive line is not the issue, in my opinion. They've been holding their own, in my opinion. That Georgia game just got out of hand because the offense couldn't do anything. I don't even know if they crossed the 50-yard line, so I kind of throw that game out. The defense won the UMass game. The defense, aside from the fail Mary play there against Florida, I mean, they kept them in that game. I just don't think the defense at this point is the issue. I think Bob Shoup's doing a really good job with the hand he's dealt. You know, one of the big question marks in my mind with that unit was the cornerbacks. They're starting Justin Martin, who last year they couldn't even leave him on the field. They didn't trust him. Emmanuel Mosley, he's about 160 pounds. That's their other starting corner. Yet you don't hear much about the Tennessee defensive backs getting burned constantly, and I think that's partly due to Bob Shoup, his defensive schemes.
All right, so let's take a look at the schedule. Outside of a couple weeks from now, it's really not that daunting. Again, a bye week coming up Saturday, but then you host South Carolina. You have to travel to Tuscaloosa. You know what? That game is what it is. You're stuck with that rivalry. But then after that, at Kentucky, you get to come out of conference back home with Southern Miss, at Mizzou, LSU at home, Vanderbilt at home. There's a lot of broken programs, similarly broken to Tennessee right now. You could make a case. You really could make a case that maybe they finish 6-1 with the rest of the schedule. Maybe even, you know, 5-2 would be just fine considering where things have been so far. I think it's an okay schedule. I think there's an opportunity to lick some wounds and get somewhat repaired. The Alabama game is probably going to be ugly, but if you get Garantano ready to go, if you keep featuring Kelly as much as possible, if the defense can help pick up the pieces, boy, it would be nice to get Evan Berry back as a return specialist. We don't talk about him enough. Sensational player. It's a shame he's injured, but I see a team that can fix itself and maybe get to 8 or 9 wins despite all the noise we've heard.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as I alluded to earlier, I think that's why the administration is not in any rush to make a move, because Tennessee is more talented than essentially every team on the remaining schedule outside of Alabama and possibly LSU. And, you know, LSU could be a terrible team by that point. You know, there's just over half the schedule left to be played. I know we just live in a world today where it's easy to just make a rash decision. You know, I keep pointing to Auburn a couple weeks ago. Everyone was ready to move on there, and they looked like a pretender after they lost by 8 points to Clemson. Now they look, in my opinion, they look like one of the SEC's best teams. you know, it's going to be a huge jump for Tennessee to make that leap. I wouldn't expect that. But, you know, if they can piece it together here, they're still looking at an 8-9-win season, which is what they've done the last 2 years. So there's still some hope. It's just the issues with the locker room. It seems like this is 2 years in a row where Butch Jones is kind of, I don't know if I want to say lost the locker room, but there's just so much drama behind the scenes that, you know, I think it may be time more than anything, just time for a change, not for the program, but for him.
All right, last question for you, Mike. Let's say you're special advisor to the athletic director, who's John Curry, and money's not an object, and who knows what happens the rest of the way. Maybe they play fairly well and get to 9 wins. Maybe it doesn't go so hot. You break even 6-6, and you go to some nowhere bowl game that people won't pay much attention to in late December. But you're the special advisor to John Curry, and you can sort of do what you want to do. He's going to listen. What do you do with this program for 2018? Do you double down on Butch Jones? You say he's your guy. You have faith in your facilities. Recruiting seems to be going well. Or too much noise, too much distraction, too much negativity. Let's try again.
I think you have to reach out to some elite coaches, like the guys we've mentioned, Chip Kelly, Kyle Whittingham, Gary Patterson. You know, see if they're interested. If not, if none of those types are interested, you know, wait and see how this season goes. If they finish, let's say, 8-4, I think, I think you bring Butch Jones back. But anything short of that, I think you just got to make a move. You know, the unfortunate part for John Curry in that situation is he's going to be judged by the football program almost exclusively in Knoxville. So if he makes the wrong decision, then he's the one on the clock, kind of like we're seeing at LSU with Joe Oliva potentially. So, you know, he's got a lot on the line too. I think that's a big reason why he's not in any kind of rush to make a decision, because the fear of Tennessee kind of faltering, you know, if they move on from Butch Jones. It wasn't that long ago. This was a laughingstock of the SEC. They may be this week after this Georgia game, but that's not an accurate assessment of the program in my mind. You know, but I think we've proven, you know, or Butch Jones has proven at least that he's just not an elite game day coach. And with going up against Florida and Georgia and Alabama every year, I think you're going to need an elite coach to beat those teams more often than not on a regular basis. And at this point, 5 years in, Butch Jones has not shown the capability to do that.
Mike, I appreciate you joining me to talk Vols, and feel free to go drown some sorrows down the road at Edley's Barbecue, where you live in Nashville. That might have been one of the best recommendations I've ever gotten for a road trip.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Maybe the best barbecue chicken I've ever had. Phenomenal place. That was Michael Braddon, our news desk editor at Saturday Down South. Remember to follow him on Twitter at Michael W. Braddon. And thank you for listening to the SDS podcast. Special thanks to our friends at WDAE in Tampa, as well as our sponsors, Crystal and Ticket City. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe on iTunes or wherever your favorite podcast is found. Be sure to give the show a rating as well. My name is John Crist, and for all SEC all the time, visit SaturdayDownSouth.com.